1029 The Hog presents the Bob and Brian Binge.
Brought to you by Johnson Centrifugal Technologies. Looking for a new career with great benefits? Apply now at jctjobs.com. Really gonna miss doing this because we get to play a song the kids like. No, the kids like Katy Perry. So do the dads. Very attractive. She is very attractive, Carrie.
You've got a lot to do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
It's time for your fireworks story. You have one? Did you have one? If it's not sent in now, stand down.
It's
way too late. If Brian reads yours on the air, and this is the last round, you're in the running for the grand prize. It's $1,000 in prizes, a $500 gift card from Steinhoffels, and a $500 gift card from Fireworks Nation. And
all
with
right.
that, we go to the letters.
Let
Brian.
Us begin. Several years ago, my cousin and I and a bunch of friends decided to buy many hundreds of dollars worth of fireworks and host our own fireworks show for our families. That was going smoothly until we decided it would be a great idea to get creative. And we took one of those large mortar boxes that shoot off 20 or so mortars. And instead of laying it down normally, we angled it so the mortars would shoot forward as well as upward. Too late, we realized that laying the box flat on the ground is a necessary component for it to work correctly. After lighting it, mortars started shooting out the back toward us and the crowd. As I was running away with mortars exploding all around me, I turned back to see if I was out of range. When I headed ran headlong into a rusty old trailer. Clang.
That's why you have to look where you're going.
Now cut and bleeding, I hid behind one of its tires, waiting for the mortar box to shoot out all its
Fallujah.
Fireworks around me. Yeah. After the box was empty, we slowly came out of our hiding spots. Miraculously, no one was severely injured.
Just injured, but not severely.
Most of us were sporting cuts and scrapes and a small fire had broken out after a mortar hit a lawn chair.
Yeah.
Not a tip over, though. That's not a tip over.
It went the way they wanted them to.
One year while working in Louisiana, my buddy and I decided to put on a fireworks show at the local campground where a majority of workers and their families stayed. After purchasing around $2,000 worth of fireworks, we took them back to the campground.
Are you hearing these dollar amounts?
I am.
A few hundred? A couple thousand?
It's a men thing. It's like a Corvette in a way. Like,
we set up our 20 mortar launchers, and each came with 8 mortars per tube. Now, pay attention.
20 by 8.
We thought this would take forever to shoot everything off, so I came up with a brilliant idea to shoot 2 mortars per tube. So instead of just dropping one in, you put in 2. And they did a test, and it worked. Let's see. So we wrapped up all the mortars in groups of 2 and threw them, all the pre-wrapped mortars, in a big box. Okay. A big box.
Yeah.
We lit off the first 20, and it went amazingly well. We reloaded the next 20 when lighting the next group, one made a loud pop. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a mortar land in the big box.
Oh, here we go.
Criminy.
Here we go.
Which lit off Run. Over 100 mortars, including the grand finale series, shooting them everywhere. Families were running with their children, trying to hide behind campers. My buddy and I were crawling on the ground, trying to find somewhere to hide.
It really is a firefight at that point, isn't it?
After it was all over and our shirts were burned off, and all the kids were calmed down. We got out the sparklers.
That's about enough.
Once again, not a tip over.
Nope. Put something over the top of your box of mortars.
In 2002, we camped with a group of families on their land near Portage. Each family had kids. They ranged in age from 2 to 13. There was one large campfire. The owners of the land had their old couch as one of the seats around the fire. And this was great.
Isn't going to be great.
Seems
in
like
it'd
probably always be wet.
Especially for the evening firework contest. Each dad was to bring some fireworks to display. Our children were the youngest, so we brought age appropriate fireworks. My husband was a little disappointed.
Oh, honey.
The men were on one side of the bonfire near the wooded area, and the rest of us sat half circle around the fire facing the show. My 2-year-old daughter was in her pack and go playpen next to the couch.
Right.
and the show began. The first display generated only minor oohs and ahs from the crowd. A lot of harassing was going on by the men in regards to the meager display. Everyone was laughing and poking fun. Then Dad number two brought in his 8-inch round, all one firework, placed it in the small clearing near the wooded area, and told the men to get out of the way. It's a good one.
You ought to know.
They lit it and ran. The first pop tipped. Here we go. Tipped the whole thing over.
Okay.
It was now facing the crowd and going off like a machine gun. Everyone was screaming, jumping over each other, trying to get out of the fire range. They all paint the same picture.
Right, running for your life.
Sooner or later, something shoots at the crowd.
It's fire.
I grabbed my daughter in the playpen, which is now riddled with melted holes. Kids were hiding behind the couch. Men were running towards it, trying to turn the direction. It finally stopped.
It's a good one.
Everyone was shaking. No one was hurt. The first comment after the dust settled, well, I guess you won.
Holes in the pack and play. Wow.
Several buddies and I were at my family's lake cottage around July 4th. I had a decent cache of fireworks, which we thought would be fun to light off on the raft that was anchored off one of the swimming areas. It was fun for a bit. Then in true dumb thinking, we decided it would be brilliant to tie fireworks to the bottle rockets. All was good as we joined the fuses and set everything up on the bottle. We lit the bottle rockets and eagerly waited to see everything go up and hear them go off. Kind of overlooked the fact that the bottle rockets would continue to go up, but the firecrackers would come back down as the fuses burned. So as we watched the firecrackers start to rain back down on us like napalm, we all ended up having to dive into the lake, and in the process of doing so, some of our other stuff got wet and was useless.
Probably best.
Thankfully, no digits were lost, and we weren't seriously injured aside from a few minor burns. Classic stupidity at its best.
Yeah. This is a public service of how not to use fireworks a lot of the time, isn't it? I mean, getting the word out, don't do this.
Yeah, here's a good one.
Okay.
Don't do whatever you think of.
Right.
Yeah, don't do whatever you think of. Just do what's on the box. Memorial Day weekend 2011, we were having a great time spending the weekend with family and friends at my parents' cabin in northern Wisconsin. After a full day of outdoor activities, it was time for a campfire, sparklers for the kids. I was lighting them, and after about 10 minutes doing this one at a time, I had the genius idea of lighting the whole pack of sparklers at once and handing them out to each of the kids one at a time.
Come on.
Being proud of myself for this idea, I grabbed all of the sparklers firmly in my hand to ensure that all were lit properly. Within a split second of the sparklers being lit, there was a bright flash of light, followed by a sonic boom and me dropping F-bombs while running around like a chicken. The full length of each sparkler lighted instantaneously in what seemed like a stick of dynamite.
Oh, my God.
Since it was dark and I wasn't sure how much damage was done, I ran into the cabin, put my hand under the faucet, and assessed the damage.
And?
I was relieved to see all my digits in place and no blood, but the palm of the hand and fingers were burned black and throbbing like all hell. Being in the middle of the North Woods, we weren't sure if we should call an ambulance or drive to the nearest hospital, which was a little over an hour away.
Oh, God.
We decided driving would be quicker, and my friend said he kind of knew where to go, so he could drive.
Siri?
En route to the ER, I could tell my wife was quietly freaking out in the passenger seat, but I couldn't tell if she was freaking out about my situation or if it was about all of us dying en route to the hospital because my friend was driving 100 miles per hour in deer-infested, curvy northern Wisconsin back roads at 10 p.m.
This is a fireworks story.
Yeah. Once at the hospital, I was injected with morphine. The doctor looked over the situation and said, well, we need to get your wedding ring off because your hand is going to swell.
Oh.
He said, the only problem is we can't slide it off because your skin will likely tear off with it.
Right.
Yep, yep, yep.
So my ring was cut off, and I slowly drifted off into morphine la-la land. Fast forward 4 days later, the bandage was taken off, and assuming there would be some blistering, I still wasn't prepared for what I saw. My hand looked like I was holding a softball because my palm and fingers were one big liquid-filled blister.
Yuck.
A week later, the doctor popped the blister over a bucket, and it sounded like a 5 gallons of water training.
Oh, my God.
Enjoy your breakfast.
Thinking the blister looked bad, the image of my raw meat hand after the dead skin was removed was stomach-turning. Mm-hmm. Took months before I could grip anything in my hand without the new skin cracking open, and I have not touched a sparkler since. You can handle it. I have pictures as evidence. Ooh. Sparklers are not kid-friendly.
I'm good.
Well, not when you'd light them all at once.
No. Follow the instructions.
Follow the instructions.
Just one more? God, there's so many.
How many more do you want to do?
Two more. Three more.
Two more. Two. Well, I've got to be a clock watcher today.
Okay.
All right.
No. Clock watcher, right. I said.
I got it. I'll handle, the rest.
Okay. I was rather proud of the fireworks display I put together out at the end of my pier. This annual tradition was enjoyed by my kids and neighbors. Notice I did not include my wife, who also thought it was too dangerous. One particular night, the wind was blowing in toward the cottage, so I thought it best to tip this particular 100-shot cake named One Big Mother.
I think that's the second One Big Mother.
Is it?
I think it is. I thought you read that earlier in the week.
Toward the lake.
Get a One Big Mother, Dad. Get a One Big Mother.
I lit the fuse, and after only 3 or 4 shots, here it is. The concussion from the explosions began to make the cake rock back and forth, eventually tipped Always. Completely on its side toward the shore. Like the scene from Shrek, as he was running from the dragon fire, it seemed like slow motion. I ran down the pier for everyone and yelling for everyone to look out as fireworks exploded all around. After everyone ducked for cover and the explosions were done, it was eerily quiet. I think everyone was in shock and relieved they had survived the incoming fire. Silence was broken by my wife, who looked at me and said, I guess we're done shooting fireworks for a while, aren't we?
Are we good? Mm-hmm. Do you think that was enough?
We haven't had one mom blowing herself up in these stories, but they're the only ones.
The voice of reason.
They're the only ones who are like, this is dangerous.
I've read stories from women that just don't identify as women in the thing.
Yeah.
There's plenty of women.
There's really, okay. All right. Good.
All right. And finally.
All right. Here we go. This is a big one. While visiting my grandparents at their Lake Winnebago home on July 2nd, they happened to receive a call from my shady, drug-dealing cousin, Derek.
Oh, this is great.
Wanting to know plans for the 4th. He asked Grandpa if he had purchased the evening's fireworks yet. When Grandpa replied no, Derek then asked if it would be okay if he brought some fireworks because he has a hookup for some big ones. Grandpa, of course, answered yes.
Oh, sure.
But just to be sure, he still ran out to buy his usual supply from the local fireworks stand. When the day arrived, Derek was nowhere to be found, so like always, the gathering went on without him. After a day full of family fun, dusk arrived. Grandpa began to set up his little display on the dock. Just then, we saw lights pull up into the driveway. As it got closer, we could see that it was a landscaping truck pulling a trailer. As the truck parked, we could now see that the driver was a heavily tattooed Hispanic fellow with a shaved head, and over in the passenger seat was Derek.
Hey, what's up? What's up, dude?
As Derek hopped out of the truck, he shouted, "All right, I'm going to need some help to the party guests. I'm going to need at least 5 guys for this." He then added, He then added, period. So along with 4 other cousins, I joined Derek by the trailer. As he opened the trailer door, he simply said, "Wait until you see this." He slowly opened the door and revealed what looked like 3 rocket launchers along with 6 other Hispanic fellows who appeared to be hiding in the front of the utility trailer.
And he still needs help.
It took every one of the 13 men to move each of the fireworks, which I estimate weighed no less than 600 pounds each. I strained to carry the last firework with the other men to the end of the dock. I couldn't help but notice the teardrop tattooed on the man's neck next to me. But in the end, we got them unloaded.
Wait, is the neck a kill or is the eye a kill?
Not sure.
I'd Google it.
Stood up the metal tubes. Stood 8 feet tall and had circumferences of a basketball.
On a dock.
Yeah.
And you're going to light them.
Only, from a dot.
Your drug addict cousin has brought these by.
The only markings on them were some homemade stencilized letters which read El Gigante on the side.
Hey, wepa.
Derek's amigos left without a word after the tubes were delivered, and come nightfall, the show was set to begin. After grandparents' fireworks, there was nothing left but the three El Gigantes. With half of the 40 or so guests already gone, the mere sight of Derek's fireworks having sent them running, remaining guests went at least 100 yards back. Derek and two of my cousins went to the end of the dock and lit them. They lit the three fuses and ran like hell. The explosion of an El Gigante was nearly deafening. The crowd was struck with a literal shockwave from the blast. However, what was truly concerning were the hundreds of softball-sized fireballs that the El Gigante had launched deep into the night sky.
Yeah.
However, concern soon turned to horror when it was soon realized that the fireballs returned to the ground were solid objects. Hundreds of burning cannonballs peppered my grandparents' house.
No, nobody asked Derek, what's in here? What's going to happen?
Peppered my grandparents' house as well as the houses of the two neighbors. 20-pound burning metal balls, but I had no problem punching through the roofs of houses and cars on which they landed.
What?
The balls hit the ground and left foot-deep craters in the grass.
Oh, my.
What? This is their own fault. They let the dummy of the family bring these in. They helped him haul them out to the dock, and nobody said, wait a minute, what's going to happen when we light this?
Soon after the blast, three houses were on fire. In the pandemonium, Derek simply slipped into the night, and soon after... police and fire arrived.
Yep.
Three houses on fire.
Between the houses and cars, the El Gigante turned out to be basically giant shotgun shells, did about $90,000 worth of damage. It was an absolute miracle that no one died. Derek was never invited back.
Derek's in Florida, I think.
Well, nice going.
Wow.
Oh, that is
what an
quite a collection of stories. Thank you for all those who sent yours in.